Broadcasting from Alito to Alton, from Champaign to Chicago, and from Robinson to Rockford, this is the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com.
Another busy show here as we wrap up the month of March with this holiday weekend. Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kengley, glad you're here along with us. Our editor, Patrick Quinn, thanks so much for all of his hard work as well. Hey, we're going to talk with Marcus Damask in just a moment here, a little triple-double action, NCAA tournament. We caught up with him before the Sweet 16 game, so we will get Marcus's thoughts as they the team headed to Boston this week. Also, Illini great Myers Leonard joining us, and we've got a couple of segments with him. Mike and Brad talking to him earlier in the week, and we will have that for you as well. Also, David Cobb from CBSSports.com talking about the NCAA tournament, and Tony Garcia, also from the Detroit Free Press, as we want to get some thoughts as well on Big Ten basketball, NCAA, and the new man in charge of the Wolverines up there now that Juwan is done. But fellas, NCAA tournament, what a run for Illinois.
Man, what a win for the Illini, 72-69 over Iowa State to advance the Elite Eight for the first time since 2005. Seems like there's a lot of first times in 19 years this season. The Illini get a defensive performance that really was the difference. You know, they're known for their offense, and they still put up, you know, again, we've talked about this, even when they have a bad offensive game, they put up 72 points. And their defense on Iowa State really made it tough on the Cyclones, and they did a wonderful job of just, you know, grinding out a win. And sometimes that's what you have to do when you make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, and I think Illini Nation was the tiredest Friday morning Illini Nation of all time because it was like, oh my gosh, how do I get out of bed after that incredible victory late Thursday? I thought it was really.
I'm still tired, Mike. I just got to say.
Yeah, I know. And I have to say, there was a couple things really popped out to me. You know, Terrence Shannon missing free throws, but yet still, you know, making the huge plays. And I thought Coleman Hawkins had a big time three in the first half, and then a steal and a dunk in the second half. And those big plays, you know, even Domask had a rough offensive game because he was attracting so much attention, but down the stretch, you know, makes a big shot and makes free throws when they're needed. Luke Goody, the same thing. It was really a lot of players going clutch when Illinois needed them to be clutch.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind, Illinois never trailed in that game. 16-6 early on, a trio of Shannon threes early. Meanwhile, I mean, Iowa State missed 10 of their first 12. And at that point, you knew that Illinois had the advantage because, Brad, I think you're the one that has said this, that, you know, you can play harder on defense, but you can't play harder on offense. I mean, you just, you know.
Look how hard we shoot. Yeah. We shoot so hard. Exactly. That's not a good thing.
Exactly. But I thought you're right. I thought this is one where Shannon's your star, but boy, this team coming in and playing their roles in the little pieces. You mentioned Coleman Hawkins, 12 points, a couple of big time threes, handling the ball. I think that's something too. That's, you know, the big steal and the slam late to end a run. How many bunnies did Iowa State miss in the final 10 minutes? I mean, they missed at least three, if not four, in that, where, again, they thought that they're going to get hit. They, you know, Illinois is so long and athletic that it you could tell they were in Iowa State's in their heads, no matter what happened in this game.
They really did. They altered and changed a lot of shots, especially for the Iowa State guards who are smaller. You know, they have smaller guards like 6'2", 6'4", the guys, and instead of having, you know, the guys like Illinois has with the size. So I thought that that was a big key. They really did a good job of contesting things at the rim, something they haven't done all year. There's been a lot of times when they had struggled with that. Now, you know, you have to credit the game plan that they have had defensively. I thought they did a really good job, especially in the first half. They took Iowa State out of everything they wanted to run. They made them do things they didn't want to do. They took almost all bad shots in the first half. And honestly, they'd have been up 15 at halftime if they'd have made free throws. So really, really great game plan on the defensive end. By the way, the other thing that, you know, the other big thing the other night was the post-game celebration. Did you guys see that with Underwood and Chester Frazier shirtless coming in the locker room?
I can't unsee that, Brad.
I know. I'm stuck now. It's like, oh my God, my retinas. So yes, no.
No.
It really, Chester wasn't a, you know, Brad, come on, man. Come on, let's go.
Yes,
at least leave the wife beater on. Come on.
Yeah. I think there was something that I might be going into the eye doctor to get to deal with that. I will say that I think one of the things that we saw at the half is there was a recalibration apparently in the locker room for the referees, because the game got called distinctly different. And I would point out to people, you can go to IlliniGuys.com, and Larry has a series of articles talking about the white jersey theory that I think people should go to. And that came out on, the first one came out on March 19th of this year. Go to IlliniGuys.com and search on that, because it was amazing how the refs made it a closer game by calling off ball fouls and getting Iowa State into the bonus with 11:10 left in the half. And somehow the Illini made it through that and squeaked by with a 3-point victory.
Yeah, never trailed in this game Thursday night. Shannon, fourth foul, had to come out of the game. And again, Marcus Damask with the key 3-point play, the tough up and under layup in the and one that he hits. Dane Danger, if he could just dribble the ball, it would be, had a steal and tried to go down into a shot.
Or if he could not dribble the ball.
Exactly. No, don't, what are you doing? But just the way they played, and Shannon coming back big, only 5 of 10 at the free throw line, still had 29 points. Imagine what he could have scored if he'd shot well. I mean, he might have 35, 40 points, but still 29 points in this game. It's the two free throws late.
22 minutes, 29 points in 22 minutes.
That's incredible. That is because he sat out so much, right, in the second half. So 29. So he becomes the first Illini ever to score more than 700 points in a season. He's at 728 now. Illinois now 29 wins in the season. And gentlemen, now they go up and take on UConn Saturday night, 5:09 Central Time tip. Surprised it's not the late game. I know the other game's in L.A., but I'm surprised they didn't put UConn. This is the other matchup everyone's talked about, right? All the experts think that Illinois may be the only team that can knock off UConn. It's the early game, 5:09 Central. On the other side, UConn looks like UConn looked. They're fantastic, but they're 9-0 in the last two NCAA tournaments. They have yet to play a top two seed, and even Saturday night, they still won't in these last two NCAA tournaments.
Yeah, it's sometimes you have to be good to win in the NCAA tournament. You also have to get lucky.
Yeah,
and sometimes you just get lucky. And this is what I was talking about. You coaches can't win in March until they win in March. And then you have to get some breaks. Just keep putting yourself in a position to make a run, and then eventually you're going to do it. I thought, you know, the other night, how about Marcus Damask? And this is kind of lost. He played 40 minutes the other night.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
He was out for like 30 some seconds or something. That was it. He went out of the floor for less than a minute, and then somebody got a foul or something. He went right back in. He just basically didn't come out against that pressure like that. I mean, the talk all offseason was Illinois didn't have a point guard. It looks like they found one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at what's going on in the NCAA tournament, and as Illini fans, we were out of shape because we hadn't been in a stressful Sweet 16 game since 2005. So I pulled an emotional hamstring during the end of this game. But I do think that ultimately, you know, you've this team has proven that and Underwood has proven now that Illinois is back to the Isle of Relevancy. But every year now, the Illini get in, and whether you're disappointed at how far they go, you can't make an Elite Eight run unless you get it to the Sweet 16, and you can't go to the Final Four unless you can get it to the Elite Eight. And this is what year in and year out, this is how Bill Self, you know, powers Kansas. And it's nice to see the Illini elevating to that level where they're leading the Big Ten every year. They may not win it, but and then they go into the tournament, which gives them the opportunity for these type of runs. And my goodness, hasn't it been a great season?
It's been outstanding. And like we said, 29 wins. And the thing is now, and we've talked about this, and this is on the front page of IlliniGuys.com as well. This posted Thursday afternoon before the game. When you get to the Sweet 16, this is how you become elite. There are people who, before Illinois won on Saturday to get to the round of 16, did not know they've won three Big Ten titles in the past 4 years. And yet I heard that Thursday night on the broadcast. Somebody said that, oh, three Big Ten titles, and now there could have been Kevin Harlan. Now they're the Elite Eight or whatever. So these are the moments that you can win conference championships. You can win 25 games in a season. You got to get to the second weekend. That's how you elevate your program. Brett Underwood and the guys, they have done that. Listen, fellas, Thursday night was not the only big game. How about the Illini women? You know, came on late, wasn't enough to get into the NCAA tournament. They're in the WBIT. They get the win a couple hours before Illinois took the court against Iowa State, and they beat Tulsa. They're in the WBIT semifinals, the Final Four, going to Indianapolis.
Yeah, huge win for the women, because I think that what they have been able to salvage out of was kind of a disappointing regular season. It is very impressive, because you're into the Final Four of the WBIT. And again, they got a break too, because one of the teams dropped out and their second game had to be against they played eight seeds the first two games. So sometimes, again, it's luck. And you get through to these games, and then they go on the road to get a win. Now they're in Indianapolis for the Final Four here of this WBIT. And you know, maybe both the men and women can win a natty. You never know.
Well, and it certainly is nice, as Coach Green is, you know, looking into the transfer portal and trying to find ways to build this team. And that win Thursday night is just another win that helps put together another reason why a young woman might decide to come play for the University of Illinois as opposed to going somewhere else. So real kudos to the basketball program for the women for pulling out that victory.
Yeah, outstanding for the women. Shauna Green's crew, and you're building for next year. You lose some players, but we know there's some players coming back for their extra year. Illinois now in the semifinals at Hinkle Fieldhouse, right? In the campus of Butler University, historic Hinkle. In Indy on Monday for the semifinals. And so the Illini gal, Adalia McKenzie, absent from the show the past couple of weeks because of the timing of the show. She's been tied up, but hopefully get her on here next week. And she's talking about, like you said, winning a national title. There's no question. So big night Thursday night for Illini basketball. Big night Saturday night, 5:09. Be sure to watch Illinois and UConn. It's maybe the most anticipated game we will have this entire tournament. Stay with us. Marcus Damask is up next here on the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. worth it? If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. That's 800-373-8414.
Glad you're back with us here on the show. This segment presented by HX Home Solutions. Be sure to mention Illini guys and get $1,000 off your home or office project. HX Home Solutions. We are here with the Illini guy himself, Marcus Damask. I tell you what, there are a few players in the country that have been talked about right now than Marcus and his teammate, Terrence Shannon. Marcus, talking to you ahead of the game against Iowa State, got to talk first about you guys and your press conference routines. Who came up with it? How much fun are you guys having with that?
it's been fun. You know, I think we're just trying to enjoy the moment. You know, I think there's times to be serious and there's times to have fun. So it's just one of those times we have fun. I had saw tweets on Twitter, you know, about the pushing stuff. And so I had responded to one saying I was going to step up my game, but then I didn't get the next, I wasn't a part of the next press. So I told them they had to do something. So it's kind of been a team effort for the choreography and everything that we've been doing.
So you obviously it's one of those things where you guys are experiencing one of those a great moment, you know, going through this. And what's kind of as you kind of try and take all this in, what's that been like through this process, winning the Big Ten, winning the first two games of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's we try to soak in all the moments. We try to have fun with everything that we do and stay serious when we need to. But it's honestly like everything moves really fast. You know, like we got back and we were leaving in the next 2 days. Like there's not a lot of time for us to just kind of really soak everything in because our mindset is the next game. So, you know, I think we're trying to find that balance of having fun, enjoying all the moments. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're just focused on trying to keep playing. You know, we're not ready for our season to end yet.
Yeah, and you look at what you're matched up against here. How do you go at a team when you know that they take such pride in their defense?
You know, I think, you know, we've played teams that take a lot of pride in their defense before and teams that have a similar defensive style. So we're just kind of building off what we did against them and ways to change it. Obviously, Iowa State's a really good defensive team. They got a lot of athletes, you know, and they just a lot of ball pressure, traps, do a lot of stuff. But I think you just got to go at it with confidence. You know, even whatever they're on paper, their defense, you know, once the game starts and it's just us versus them.
You know, and it feels like, Marcus, that just watching you guys as we have all season long, that right now you're peaking in every way possible at the right time. And not just on the court, but even off the court. The stuff we talked about again with the goofy press conference stuff. But I mean, just, you know, you guys coming onto the floor, coming out of the huddle, you know, there's just, I don't want to say swagger, that sounds a little cocky, but there's a confidence here that you guys have that I didn't see maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago. What's brought that on? Was it the success in Minneapolis? Is it these first couple of games? Where do you think that comes from?
I think obviously, you know, success, you know, translates to, you know, feeling confident in your abilities and each other's abilities. So I definitely think the success, you know, as far as all the off the court stuff, you know, it's stuff that we've been having fun with each other. It's just now, you know, in the March Madness run, it's a lot more media time that we have to deal with. So I think, you know, fans are just getting more of a glimpse of just kind of how we interact with each other on a daily basis. You know, I think if there were cameras in oven all the time, you know, it would be insane how much the fans would love to watch that because, you know, we just have a lot of fun with each other.
Wait. I've been in oven, so I do know that there are cameras in oven. We would have to bleep out a lot of things, though, from Coach Underwood. Is that not accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
So, Marcus, as you go through this kind of, you know, when you pick individual matchups, How much is this? Are these games about you guys playing well? You know, I know you do detailed scouting. I've seen your scouting reports. I've gone through that. But you guys have. I mean, how much is it about you, and how much is it about the opponent?
I think, you know, it's more about us than them for sure. You know, especially for us defensively. Yeah, teams are going to do, you know, run what they run, but at the end of the day, it's about us and our intensity guarding it and how we're communicating with each other on the floor, you know. And then offensively, you know, it's still about us. You know, teams are going to try to take stuff away, but, you know, we know how to adapt to that stuff. And it's all about just playing with each other and playing with confidence.
You know, a couple questions. One is, how are you, you know, integrating in, you know, guys who are starting to contribute a little more? You know, Dane is contributing more. Even Gibbs LaHorn is, you know, doing a little bit more. And then a second question is, I don't ever went to a Sweet 16 until you were on this show. I'm thinking there's a direct correlation between the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and you. Is that true?
I mean, there is. I guess the stats prove it. So
thank you.
I guess
there is. Thank you. I appreciate that.
As far as you know, Dane and Dre and just all the guys, I don't think anything changes really. You know, seeing what they've been capable of doing in practice this whole year, and I think it's just now that everybody else is kind of seeing it as they're gaining confidence and they're finding their rhythm. So, you know, for us, we're just continuing to play like we have been all year, and they're just playing better.
Talking with Marcus Damask here ahead of the game against Iowa State, the Sweet 16 game in Boston. I've spent a lot of time in the media, and so I picked up on this right away, and I'm not sure fans are upset that, oh my goodness, they're playing the late game. I got to stay awake and get my coffee. When you play the late game, that's the marquee game. And so I find it really interesting and pretty cool that the team powers that be decided to put last year's national champion and a rematch of last year's championship game, including a team from California, they're the early game because you guys are the marquee game. And it just feels like that of all the matchups, I'm hearing more about this, it feels, than maybe any other. I mean, you guys really have done so much for yourselves in the program these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's an intriguing matchup when you look at all the stuff on paper. You know, the number one defense versus the number one offense, I think, catches a lot of eyes, and a lot of people want to see that, you know, obviously. And we have Terrence, too, and Terrence has been playing at a phenomenal level right now, so a lot of people want to watch him play. So I think I think our play style is intriguing for people to watch. And I think this matchup with Iowa State is just two really good teams going at it.
Marcus, is there one thing, like when you're thinking what's a key to for you guys, is there one thing where you guys say, if we do this, we're going to win or we're going to have a great chance of winning?
I think if I had to choose two things, it would be taking care of the ball and just rebounding. You know, that's a team that has a lot of athletes that get after the offensive glass. So I think if we can cut off that, I think we'll be in good shape.
One question I had was just how much did Terrence care that you got the triple-double? Because I think there was some discussions on that, and he seemed very – we hear he was emphatic. I wanted to hear from what it was like from your point of view.
Yeah, he really wanted me to get it. You know, I said before to the media that he said he was going to fight me if I didn't start shooting when I needed a couple points left.
Who wins that?
Even if you look at the that's for the locker room. That's the locker room. even if you look at like the camera when I hit the shot, his reaction, I think he probably had the best reaction on the bench. He was definitely really happy for me.
Two quick questions. We got to let you go. What was that moment like when you did that and later found out how rare of a feat that was? That's number one. Number two, two games into the NCAA tournament, has it been everything you thought it would be?
I think it has been everything I thought it would be. You know, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to play with my teammates and you know, we just want to keep it going, really. And then as far as the triple-double, it was fun in the moment, you know, because I hadn't had a triple double in college, and I had been really close many times. So to kind of get one in that stage was really fun. I think I didn't realize, you know, how few in the list that had done it before. So once I kind of saw my name next to that list, you know, that was just kind of satisfying to see my name up there with some of the greats.
Yeah. And now you are one of the greats, one of only 10 triple doubles in NCAA tournament history. One of only 5 Illini to do that. The first ever to do it in the NCAA tournament. By the way, 3 of those under Brad Underwood, Io and Coleman, and now Marcus. Marcus, we can't tell you enough how much it's fun each week to talk with you. We know we will talk with you again next week as you're preparing to go to Phoenix. We will speak that into truth. You don't have to. Best of luck in Boston. We'll talk with you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. Marcus Dimash joining us as he does each week right here on the Illini Guy Sports Spectacular. Once again, presented by HX Home Solutions. We appreciate all that HX Home Solutions does for the Illini student athletes. We've got much more to come coming up next year. Myers Leonard, the boys, the guys, the fellas, catching up with Myers. Our conversation next.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Hi, Larry Smith here with details on a special Illini Guys deal with one of the premier home building and remodeling companies in Greater Chicago, HX Home Solutions. If you live in the Chicago area, or if you know someone who does, and your home or business is in need of attention, call HX. Tell them you're with the Illini Guys and get $1,000 off your project. They offer full residential, commercial, and industrial remodeling and new construction services, and only use the best in-class products with the top installers. Get $1,000 off with the Illini Guys discount. Why HX? They're experienced, in business since 1950. They're respected, an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, and over 100 five-star reviews on Google. They're elite. They use only top materials like James Hardy siding. I have Hardy plank on my own home. It's durable, looks good, and increased the value of my home. Marvin Windows, hail-proof Ural Shield roofing, and much more. And they finish on time. None of this stuff sitting in your driveway weeks after they were supposed to be done already. The Illini Guys discount is available to anyone listening to this message. Their number is 224-880-6000, and their website, hxhomesolutions.com. Be sure to mention the Illini Guys to get your discount. hxhomesolutions.com.
Hello, this is Brett Dillman, the Illinois head football coach, and you're listening to Illini Guys Sports Spectacular.
We're excited this week, man. We got a big surprise, and literally a big surprise. It's like 7 foot of surprise, Mike, joining us this week on the Sports Spectacular here. Former Illini star and NBA center Myers Leonard joins us. Myers, how we doing?
You know, I'm great. I really am. Life is good. My wife and I moved here, Ellie, of course, with little Liam to Nashville about, I think, 9 months ago or so, and we're loving it. So, yeah, just taking life one day at a time. But I'm in a good season of life, if you will. I'm very grateful, and I don't know. It's just I feel whole, I guess, is what I would say. And, you know, we'll jump into it. I'm not even entirely sure what all you guys want to hit on today, but you guys fire away, because I'm an open book.
That's good to hear. Hey, I just want to ask first thing, because I've had people tell me, you know, you got to see the Illini play up close and personal in the Purdue game. Mm. You got to come into town. Great game, obviously. Two teams are still playing right now. So It was a really high level game. What are your thoughts on this Illini team?
You know what? I went through and I was watching some highlights, and I've been able to catch the Big Ten tournament. I've been able to catch these first couple of games in the NCAA tournament. And truthfully, a lot of times I'm keeping up with box scores and trying to catch highlights. Every now and then I'll catch, you know, a full half of a game. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. We don't do a lot of screen time. So the evenings is obviously when the team normally plays, and Ellie and I are normally with Liam. But I did get to see them play there in Champaign against Purdue. And then I went through, I feel like I'm in a coach's meeting, all these notes I've taken for the last few games. And man, just so much balance to the team, well-coached, size, veteran leadership. That's one thing. I was on yesterday with Bill Cole and Sam Maniscalco, and these are some of the things I was hitting on yesterday. It's just, I think we have the ability to wear on teams, and also you can sense that there's the level of connection between the players and the staff, and definitely, and in some ways, even more importantly, amongst the players. And what I mean by that is, I always, you know, think back on my career, and a lot of times I remember my Miami days actually in a totally different way than other parts of my career, because I just felt like I learned, I guess, pretty unique ways of thinking about the game and that sort of thing. Anyways, my point is Spo always talked about enjoy someone else's success. And it's not always easy as a player. You know, we got the NIL, we got guys that want to go to the NBA, you got this, you got that. And you can sense with this team that they genuinely enjoy playing with each other. I mean, it's silly, but look at the photos of them jumping on the plane. You know, you got Coleman wearing a Marcus Domas t-shirt, you got Coach Underwood wearing this, and these people, it's just like, there's so much support and chemistry, I guess, you know, is another big word that people use in basketball. It just feels like this team is positioned to continue to make a run. I mean, they have everything you need. And so I've just been really, really impressed by their ability to come in focused, clearly understanding of what the scouting report is, KYP, as we call it, when I was playing, know your personnel. Like, there's certain sets I'm noticing that they're taking away that's a quick hitter. And if you don't watch film or if you don't run through it in a walkthrough, a lot of times you get caught on quick hitters, you know, because it's like, all right, well, there's a reason this play is designed to get a three or get, you know, a back screen for a layup, something to get the other team going. And you can tell that the focus level is there. And I would just come back to, there's a lot of veterans. I mean, when I go through Terrence Shannon, veteran, Marcus, veteran, Coleman, veteran, Quincy, veteran, Ty Rogers, junior, correct?
Sophomore.
So for a guy who's bringing a lot of energy and playing well, maybe on the younger side, but still, Danger, Luke, I mean, by the way, all those guys I just listed, 6'6", 6'6", 6'10", 6'8", 6'6", 6'9", 6'7". There's a lot of now when you run into someone like Zach Edey, different story. That guy is quite a massive human being. But let me just pause for a second because I can get into different specifics. But I really feel good about this team. I mean, they just seem to like playing together. Pretty dynamic on the defensive end. They have ability to just break you down a few different ways on the offensive end. And that's another thing that I've been really intrigued by. But go ahead, because I'll dig into some more of this here whenever we, you know.
Well, one of the questions we had for you, obviously, you know, being in the NBA teaches you how to scout out other teams and how to evaluate personnel. When you look at this offense, which is arguably, you know, the best offense that Illinois has had since, you know, Dee and Darren, what jumps out at you as a guy who's played at the highest levels that makes this offense so effective?
Here's an answer I bet you're not used to. A lot of it has to do with the defensive end, because if you're connected and you are, you know, there's been some ups and downs and ebbs and flows with the defensive side of the ball. However, when we do manage to get stops and we're not taking the ball out of the net, I mean, look at Terrence Shannon Jr. coming downhill in transition. Good luck. Speed. I mean, being a lefty is tricky because as a basketball player, you're used to most players. There's all these little things. I mean, just the explosive power. Now, all of a sudden, you know, even if he doesn't get to the rim, now he's got driving kick. You know, so a lot of times it does start on the defensive end, which, again, still have to continue to focus on that end with a few things. But offensively, I mean, put Terrence Shannon in pick and roll, spread the floor, let him make plays. That's something I learned in Miami as well. It's like the ball is probably going to be in Jimmy Butler's hands. If it's not, with the second unit, it's probably going to be in Goran Dragic's hands. Why? Because Spo always talked about, like, you guys are extremely talented players, and we have every piece of the puzzle that we need, which is what I see in this team, the Illini. And if you put players, you know, sometimes you need freedom and let the guys make decisions within, say, a set or here's what we're looking for. But every now and then you just space the floor and let players make plays. Just give it a little bit of structure. And so, I mean, then you got, I mean, look at Marcus Domas, man. He can operate in pick and roll, but throw him on the block and he's just, he's wearing teams out. And he's willing to let the game come to him. And so are the you know, the three-headed monster, if you will. Terrence Shin, of course, normally is north of 20, north of 30 points a game, especially over this last run. It's just been insane. But think about the first half against Morehead State. People probably didn't think Marcus Domas was having a very good game. Was he having the best game of his life? No. But was he having a bad game? Also, no. He let the game come to him, and he ended up with the 10th ever, as long as the TV wasn't lying to me. Triple-double in NCAA history, tournament history. Think about that for a minute. We had Terrence, I think, had whatever, 21, 23 in the first half. Boom. That's where we got, you know, we mucked the game up. They start off 9-0 run, you know, three threes, and I could sense around me, I'm getting all these text messages. I'm like, we're fine, relax. And then all of a sudden the game started to flow our direction. But, you know, to be fair, Morehead State brought it, and then we just wore on them. And all of a sudden, you look down, and of course, Coleman's got anywhere from 15 to 25 with 7 to 10 rebounds and 5 assists and 2 steals and 2 blocks. I mean, the guy just impacts the game, and then you just look across the board, and these guys, I mean, look at Danger. I mean, what was he, 9 for 9, 21 and 8, something like that. I mean, he checks in, and, you know, there's just different matchup situations that we're able to exploit. I mean, he can really move, man. Like, there was a dump-off pass, and he had that nice little lefty under-the-basket finish, and I was like, all right, that was a nice finish. Then all of a sudden, he catches on the right elbow, and he gives it, like, this shimmy cross, kind of step through, same foot, same hand, reverse finish with the left again. I'm like, oh, boy, big fella's feeling it tonight, and all of a sudden – you know, he explodes in that game. And it's just, it's awesome that they have different guys that can take over in different moments. You're not just relying on Terrence Shannon to take over the game. And so, you know, then you got Luke. He's a really solid player. He boxes out, he rebounds for his position. He's not, you know, people might say, oh, well, what about the defenseman? To me, everything I've seen doesn't seem like a big issue. You know, he spaces the floor, he can knock down threes. So I just think there's so many ways that you can go about attacking another team. And really what it seems to me that Underwood is doing, and I guess they mentioned this yesterday, I was unaware, to be totally truthful, that he sat down Underwood with Jay Wright, and they talked about taking advantage of mismatches on the block or Marcus primarily, and seeing, you know, who do we want to go after? And I mean, again, I always draw back to Spo. There is like absolutely no question in my mind. Every scouting report is different. Everything that we're doing now, we have your base principle, and then you kind of figure out what it is game to game that you want to alter to try to get a win. And it's just, they really, the Illini are rolling, period. And we just got to hope that continues. They continue to play well. If we're making shots, we're going to be all right.
Let's see. They
definitely a very versatile team.
Yeah, they love the booty ball. You know, that Underwood likes to call it the booty ball with Damask. It's pretty impressive. It almost seems like what they, and as the game's changed, you were in college, you know, what, 12 years ago or something like that, 13 years ago, roughly. I'm not trying to make you feel old, but
that's
although,
okay.
Although I will say, when you tell stories about when you were playing AAU and you had yelled at me on the sideline of the AAU game, it really does make me feel old, Myers. Now that you have children and you've had an NBA career already, I do feel old. I will say that.
Hey, this is a true story. We're in Chicago. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and I was playing for the Mac Urban Fire, and my good buddy, Kevin Walsh, who's doing an unbelievable job for himself in the basketball agent world on the coaching side, would often take me to all my games because I just didn't have the means or the transportation to do it. And anyways, I had a couple of back-to-back dunks on, I think, both lobs in Chicago. And the first one I caught, pretty sure I yelled, "That was for you, Kevin." And I mean, we're talking like we go down, maybe back, and then another possession. Sure enough, we got another run out, and I caught it, and I actually reversed it. Boom, and I said, that's for you, Brad, it's dirty. Just because I thought it was so cool. Man, I love University of Illinois basketball. Like, this is like the mecca to me. So, you know, naturally, Brad is one of the first guys I really was connected with when it came to the media with Illini basketball. So that was a pretty cool moment. But, yeah, that would have been, God, that would have been 2009. So, yeah, we're getting a little – I mean, I'm even feeling a little old after saying that.
Imagine how I feel, Myers. I got to say. Yeah.
Once again, Myers Leonard, the former Illini star and longtime NBA star as well, joining us here on the Sports Spectacular. We'll have more with Myers coming up in the second hour. Right now, a timeout and much more to come here on the Sports Spectacular.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgent care.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-626-4512. 800-626-4512. 800-626-4512. That's 800-626-4512.
Well, the ongoing saga the past couple of years for the Pac-12 is done, finally, especially in these last several months. Oregon State and Washington State reaching a settlement with the 10 teams that are leaving for much greener pastures. Getting both about $65 million from the distributions of those departing members, that's a big chunk of change. The question now is, where do you go from here if you're these two schools?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. They aren't really coveted anywhere, so it sounds like they're, you know, you stick out there. So they, you know, stay on the West Coast, but, you know, I guess you kind of take your money and roll with it the best you can while you have it and see from there, because I think their share where they're going to work is going to be like $6 or $8 million a year instead of 60. So a big difference, obviously, in their television rights. I don't know what's going to happen. I think the thing is, they want to be somewhere when it all falls, because they'll have an opportunity to join somebody at some point. But where do you want to fall when it does happen? So they got to find the best place for themselves.
Well, logically, if you're, you know, Washington State and Oregon State, you're looking at the Big 12, and you're looking at, of course, the Atlantic Coast Conference, because the Atlantic Coast Conference is going to need somebody for their West Coast teams to play.
Mike, we're going to have to go over geography with you later.
I know. Trust me. This is the part.
Pacific Coast teams need to look at the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Or else. Yes, exactly. But I do think those are your two landing spots. But we've seen is this the NIL nuclear arms race has ratcheted up. I think you're also going to need to understand and make an educated guess on what's going to follow that, which in 2 to 3 years, you know, will it be straight up TV dollars that you're going to be paying a revenue percentage to your players? And they need to be at a place that's going to generate that. And that puts a lot of heat on them. And there just aren't many options. They're an okay place today, but I don't envy them for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Wazoo and Oregon State, by the way, a non-rev sports joining the West Coast Conference. Football teams agree to a scheduling alliance with the Mountain West for
this upcoming season, an option also to for 2025. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Some coaching news now. The big story in the Bluegrass is John Calipari staying for his 16th season. A lot of people are ready to see him head out. They have not reached a Sweet 16, not a Final Four, not an Elite Eight, not a national title, a Sweet 16 since 2019, before the COVID year. Remember way back then? When masks were just a thing that doctors and dentists wore. Yeah. Way back then. So he's just saved his 16th year. I think the question is a formula right now? And I think a lot of BBN not really feeling John Calipari. The big reason that he stays probably because there is a $33 million buyout if they booted him.
Yeah. It's so there the same, same reason I'm still here.
Yeah. We can't afford to let you
can't
go.
Can't afford my buyout, you know, $33. So no, but
that's
yeah,
cash.
I think well, and that's the problem. If you could defer it like Otani, you'd be okay. But, you know, paying that $32
don't gamble it, Brad. Don't gamble it.
But, no, and I do think John Calipari didn't forget about basketball. I think the game has changed a little bit. So he can't go out and get the five. He's got 18 years playing as 23-year-olds. We all see this. But he needs to change his approach. They need to be more active in the portal. They need to be more active getting guys that are multi-year guys to fit together with their – it doesn't mean you can't have young guys, but you got to have a mix. And you look at who's left in the tournament. I'm just looking around. A lot of guys who are in their second year at least, and a lot of guys who are also multi-year guys and fifth-year guys and things like that.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic, though. If you really think you're going to fire Calipari, it's $33 million buyout this year. And what is it, $27 million next year? But if you wait until next year, you've paid him $8 million for this year. To me, this says that Calipari is here for the duration. And I don't know if Kentucky fans are wanting to hear that, but Brad is exactly correct. He has to figure out how to build a roster, and you have to do that with transfer portal, or you will be sitting at home.
Well, and it's a program that for all of the ballyhoo and all the attention they get for getting five-star kids out of high school, you know, they're not getting star kids. Now, I think one of the best coaching jobs that has happened in Calipari's time, there's a couple of them. Tyler Ulis, who, you know, went from, you know, four-star guy to the NBA under Kentucky. And Antonio Reeves, who came from Illinois State, and then 2 years later, he's an All-American. I mean, you know. But at the same time, he's not getting, you know, these guys that you would think he would. The other piece of this is maybe Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director there, the guy he wanted to coach or his top two or three weren't available or wouldn't come take the job. So probably a few things there. You know, some other coaches that are on the move. How about, you know, really aren't many vacancies out there right now. Louisville got their guy. Vandy got their guy. Washington State, Stanford. Most of the big jobs are all taken here before we get into the second weekend of the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know if they got their guy. They got a guy.
They got a guy. Cases. Yeah.
They got a guy.
Yeah.
USC is obviously. Now, it'd be interesting to see what happens with USC. Because if they hire, let's say they pull, I think one of their targets is going to be Musselman from Arkansas.
Mm.
Right. And so if that happens, then you start the whole portal. Then it all starts over again. So, So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting time, you know, as these coaches are looking at hot seats and looking at the future and trying to balance. I do think there are, if I was a coach in today's environment, I would be looking at like, where can I get the best NIL bang for my buck? Because I want to have people, talent on my team, and you can't win, you know, without the talent. And then you've got to balance it between the portal and high school.
Yeah. Interesting on Musselman. Spent a lot of time in California. His wife used to work there in L.A. when she was a sportscaster. You know, going to the Big Ten, there's some attraction there. We'll see what happens. All right, keep it here. More to come.
Hello, this is John Makovic, former coach of the Fighting Illini, and I sure enjoy listening to the Illini guys on their Sports Spectacular.
David Cobb is a college basketball writer for CBSSports.com. Glad to have him back on the show. As you can imagine, he is uber busy this time of year, so the fact we get a few minutes with it, we really appreciate. David, good to see you again, my friend.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on with you guys. It's a busy time of year, but it's a fun time of year, so happy to talk some ball with you guys.
There you go. Yeah, I've got my B12 gummies. I'm halfway through the jar, and we still have more to go here to get going. Hey, want to talk a little coaching news off the top here. The word earlier this week, Kentucky, John Calipari is going to return
for next season, even though I will tell you, being in the Bluegrass, the phone calls I've gotten, the text messages, it's unanimous. DBN's ready to move on. What do you think went behind the decisions for Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart to keep him around for another year?
Well, I would imagine there were likely some pretty serious conversations with the big money boosters. One, you got to figure out if you have the support to come up with a buyout over $30 million. And then two, I think behind the scenes, you would need to kick the tires on some of the A-plus level candidates. Because if you get rid of John Calipari, but then you're stuck with a C-plus hire in replacing him, have you really done your program? Have you done a good thing for your program at that point? I think there's a debate to be had there. So I understand why Kentucky fans were anxious and ready to move on from Cal, but I don't know if you pay a $33 million buyout unless you've got all the supports you need from the boosters and a really strong sense of who you're going to land to replace him. And they seemed like they fell short on those things. And so Cal's coming back and, it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of vitriol there. And he is most definitely even more so on the hot seat than he was before. So fascinating sort of subplot here as the Sweet 16 games come along that John Calipari is coming back to Kentucky.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Almost 40 teams have reached the Sweet 16 since the last time Kentucky did it. Back before COVID. So that's what's going on in Lexington. Meanwhile, in Ann Arbor, I got rid of Juwan Howard. We knew that was probably going to happen. A lot of buzz going into the tournament about Dusty May to Ohio State. They keep Jake Diebler. Dusty May instead, the Indiana grad, goes to Michigan. I thought this was an inspired hire by Ward Manuel up there.
Yeah, it's a great hire for Michigan. When you look at the fact that Michigan's coming off such a rough season and some of the challenges at Michigan that I don't know that you have at Ohio State or at Louisville or at some of these other jobs that were open to Dusty May, because I flash back to last offseason and Caleb Love was trying to transfer from North Carolina. And initially he committed to Michigan, but there was some sort of a hang up there academically to where he couldn't get in at Michigan. Now we see him balling out for Arizona, right? And then Hunter Dickinson, one of the greatest players of the last decade at Michigan, leaves Michigan after three consecutive all Big Ten seasons because he could go make more money somewhere else. And if I'm Dusty May and I've got options, boy, I sure got a lot of questions about why we couldn't get Caleb Love into school and why Hunter Dickinson left, because I don't know that those things happen at a place like Louisville or even at a place like Ohio State. But Dusty May going up there, he must have gotten some assurances that they're committed to basketball in a way that maybe wasn't so clear a year ago when they lost their best player and couldn't get in one of the highest impact transfers.
No, no question. And I think, too, it's a good reset for Michigan. Juwan and his off-court stuff had become, I think, too much of a distraction. If you're not winning on top of that, hard to believe he was National Coach of the Year just three seasons ago. But I think with the incident with the Wisconsin assistant coach, the thing with the strength coach, that he ended up leaving and actually going to Illinois, I think it's an endless. I think Dusty May has proven himself to win at a place that's not known for its basketball. He's put them on the map. And so good for him. And beware of the Big Ten. A lot of good coaches up there, and I think he fits right in. Speaking of the Big Ten, only two teams left in the Sweet 16. Thursday night, as we talk here before the Sweet 16, it is Illinois taking on Iowa State. Illinois, a program right now, it's interesting that I really thought we would hear more from the national media about the Terrence Shannon situation. Again, the allegations of sexual abuse in Kansas. He was suspended six games due to the university's policy. He got a preliminary injunction in the courts to have that removed. He is innocent until proven guilty. It won't be resolved until well after the season. You're somebody in the national sphere. How have you attacked this story this week, getting ready to watch this team take on Iowa State in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? This is a story that was a pretty big deal earlier on in the year when maybe the nation wasn't paying that close attention to college basketball. Obviously, that Illinois fan base has been pretty dialed in with what's going on here. What it comes down to, and I think why you're not seeing more criticism of Illinois and of Terrence Shannon, is because at the end of the day, the university is somewhat protected here because they can say, hey, this is a judge's decision. This isn't our decision, right? And you know, you can push back on that and say if they really wanted to take the high ground, they could sit him down. Or if this was a walk-on, would he still be part of the team? I think those are real fair questions to ask. But in some ways, Illinois is immune or protected here because, well, we're just following what the federal judge mandated in that temporary restraining order, right? And so that gives them a certain level of insulation here. And make no mistake, it's a huge court ruling. I mean, this is a court ruling from a judge a couple months back that could have an impact on who wins the national championship in college basketball. I mean, how about that? Like, that's not something you see every day because Terrence Shannon Jr. is an All-American caliber player. He is playing as well as anybody in the country right now, including Zach Edey. So he's that good, and he makes that much of a difference for Illinois. In that case, you know, the accusations there in Kansas, that's still pending. And so another reason why you haven't heard as much about the Terrence Shannon Jr. legal troubles is because since that case is pending, he's not talking to the media, and his legal counsel has advised him not to speak with the media during this NCAA tournament. And so in some respects, this story has sort of flown under the radar. But I have a feeling the opposing fan bases who Illinois faces from here on out will be more than happy to dredge this up and sort of sling that, you know, in Illinois' face a little bit. And it's a nasty situation. Anytime you got a star player accused of something so serious, it's not ideal, but Illinois is kind of able to use that judge's order as protection from some criticism here.
And to back up what you're saying, when you hear Coach Brad Underwood, the few times he has been asked about this, and I'm not just in the sphere of regular season games in Champaign and other Big Ten cities, but at the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis, last week in Omaha at the NCAA tournament, when he is asked, his standard answer is, I said before, I'm going to coach the guys in the locker room. And I said during coaching the guys in the locker room, well, he's a guy in the locker room, so I'm going to coach him. I mean, they stay clear. That's what he's saying. And to your point, it's a legal situation. The judge was a former college athlete herself. And so she understood Terrence's argument that, hey, look, my stock is dropping. This is costing me potentially a lot of money, and I haven't been charged. I haven't been, found guilty of anything. So speaking about that on the court, you're exactly right. I think that's the one thing that Terrence Shannon, the difference he makes to this Illinois team. And I know you in your bracket on CBSSports.com, you've picked Illinois to beat Iowa State and then lose to UConn. I think because Terrence Shannon is such a unicorn, he gives them a chance even against UConn. UConn's the best, I think, the best team in the field. It's possible. I think UConn still wins, but it's possible if they don't have a game. How do you shut him down?
Yeah, it's hard. The hard part about shutting Terrence Shannon Jr. down is that he has enough help to where you can't necessarily bring the double. Because think about Marcus Domask. Think about Coleman Hawkins. Think about some of these other guys on that Illinois roster. And so the minute you try to throw the double team at Terrence Shannon Jr., you're leaving Marcus Domask open, and he's one of the best scorers in college basketball too. So that's what makes Illinois so difficult to guard, is they play five out. Coleman Hawkins brings the opposing big man out because he's a five man who can shoot the three. And when you have that, it opens up the driving lanes for Terrence Shannon Jr. It opens up the driving lanes for Marcus Domask. And that's what makes Illinois so lethal, is the way they play that five out style. And it leaves them a little bit exposed defensively because they don't have that elite level rim protector. Maybe they don't have that scary lockdown physical defense. And I mean, that's the drawback. But the guys that Brad Underwood has surrounded Terrence Shannon Jr. with compliment him very, very nicely. And this is a team that really doesn't even have a true point guard. They don't have that pass first 6'2", you know, 6.3 assists per game guy. They have a lot of really good gifted offensive players, though, and they work together very, very well.
Yeah, good point. I'm not sure there's a team in the country that's had three different starters all score 30 points in a game at some point this season, but Illinois does, with Shannon several times, Domask several times, and Coleman Hawkins in the first Iowa game in Champaign. On the other side, Purdue, number one, obviously in the Midwest. I think you've got them. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember if you had them winning at all, but you have them in the Final Four, though. Is this the year Purdue breaks through? I mean, so many people in the Big Ten are like, yeah, but Purdue in the tournament, because of the way they play, they struggle because the games are called differently and they get into foul trouble. This Purdue team does feel different than in the past.
Yeah, I was going to pull my bracket up here and show you. I got Illinois, Marquette, Purdue, and North Carolina in the Final Four. So, I've actually got Illinois beating UConn, which would be a massive upset. I mean, something, you know, upsets happen, right? UConn's great, but like maybe Illinois can get them. No, with Purdue though, yeah, they're a machine. To me, that first weekend almost felt like a statement, like a, hey, y'all all think that we are the same team that lost to Fairleigh Dickinson a year ago, and that's not what we are. I mean, everybody wanted to give Utah State a chance to beat Purdue because, oh, the Mountain West was better than people realized. They won the Mountain West outright. Well, all you had to do was look at that Utah State roster and see 6'8" as their tallest guy and know sort of how that was going to go. But yeah. I will tell you, this weekend, if the Purdue-Creighton matchup happens, I am so interested in seeing how that one goes down, and I'll be there for it. And the reason why is because Creighton fouls less than anyone in college basketball. They have mastered the art of going straight up and defending without fouling and walling up. And that could be something that Purdue's not totally accustomed to because they get so many of their points at the free throw line. Everybody's so physical with Zach Edey, like you talk about. And Ryan Kalkbrenner may be one of the only players in the sport who's equipped to defend him without fouling. And so that could be a really interesting dynamic if that matchup comes to fruition.
Yeah, and boy, he has developed since coming out of high school in I believe the St. Louis area. He's one of the top big men in the country. Zach Edey hasn't faced a 7-footer of that caliber yet. And so to your point, I agree with you. One thought or two about UConn is that last year they were the first team ever to win it all without facing a 1 or 2 seed. They could reach back-to-back Final Fours, 10 straight wins in the NCAA tournament without facing a 1 or 2 seed if it's Illinois that they beat in the Elite Eight. So to your point, they're a great team, but luck has been on UConn's side.
That's kind of funny when you think about it, because going into this tournament, it was all about, wow, UConn got the toughest draw. What a brutal, oh, they might have to play FAU in the second round. Well, no, they didn't have to play FAU in the second round. And now, they, you know, they'll be tested with San Diego State, but I don't know that, you know, they beat that team by 17 in the national title game last year. And UConn is just as good as it was, and San Diego State isn't quite back to the level it was a year ago. Still really good, but yeah, maybe that path isn't as tough as expected. I think they would have a tougher time with Illinois than Iowa State, but I mean, UConn's rolling right now. If they repeat, then all I've done is give Dan Hurley more bulletin board material, because what he's doing right now is searching for those angles or those slights or anything that he can use to motivate his guys and his team to say, hey, let's keep winning, because you know, you can get complacent when you're on the mountaintop, and Dan Hurley seems to be extremely motivated to get his guys that edge and that chip on their shoulder again.
Yeah, and you know what, God bless him for it, whatever it takes, right? So hey, and by the way, we should say one more thought. The Illinois-Iowa State game, it says something I've been trying to tell people on IlliniGuys.com. When you're the late game, you're considered the marquee game. And all four late games, the odds makers have put those as the tightest game. So the fact that Illinois-Iowa State is the late game with a repeat of the national title game as the early game, including a California team, should speak volumes to how the TV execs, what they think of this Illinois-Iowa State game.
Yeah, what a just a blockbuster weekend. The downside, of course, is that we don't have an Oakland or an Oral Roberts or a St. Peter's, right? And that's always fun.
Yeah,
but like, these games should be really good. There's some great teams, great matchups, and really good players. Yeah, so to your point, when you have to put the rematch of the national title game in the back seat, that right, tells you something about the caliber of basketball that might be played this weekend. So it should be a blast.
Yeah. David, listen, enjoy your time in Detroit. Always appreciate your time with us. Be safe, and maybe we'll see you in Phoenix.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much. David Cobb, once again, a college basketball writer with CBSSports.com. Be sure to go on and check out his stuff because, again, he's got just some great insights all the way through. We enjoy having him on the show, as always. We've got more to come after this.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care anywhere, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Don't forget to follow us on X, Illini underscore guys. That's I-L-L-I-N-I underscore guys. Also, as always, you can reach out to us and let us know what you think. info@IlliniGuys.com. Real easy. And don't forget, be sure you check out IlliniGuys.com for all of your tournament coverage, men and women, and also the offseason that's on the way. Who's staying? Who's going? Big news to come in April. Make sure you're right here with IlliniGuys.com. We promised in the first hour we'd have more with Mike and Brad's chat with Myers Leonard. Let's bring you that right now.
You see how the college game maybe has changed a little bit to be more like the NBA as the shot clock's gotten shorter and things like that?
No question. I mean, when I first came to the University of Illinois in 2010, still a physical conference, less play on the inside, unless we're talking about Zach Edey. And it is. I mean, the game is evolving. It always will evolve, of course. But you look at the NBA, a lot more threes, a lot more transition, trying to get more possessions, push the pace, allow guys to play with space. You know, it's a little different because, you know, there's no three in the key, which doesn't seem like a big thing, but it is a big thing when it comes to kind of dynamics of offense and defense. But I will say also, though, there's always teams, of course, every year that are like this – quote unquote Cinderella type of situation. And there naturally are going to be better players at blue chip school and this and that. But I think basketball has more than ever, like kids train at a younger age. They lift weights. Their nutrition is just a little better. Everything is just a little better the further and further we go. And as time goes on. And so what I'm trying to get at is even those, with all due respect, lower level D1 guys are, even JUCO guys, whoever it may be, basketball players are just really stinking good. And so, you know, that's, I think, why you see more explosive scoring in the college game. You see coaches altering the way that they want to run their offense because guys are able to do more. You know, it doesn't have to be this, we're going to run flex offense and muck up the game and be tough-nosed defenders and not give up any offensive rebounds and slow the pace down. And as long as we win 59-58, I'm good with it. You know, which is also fine. Don't get me wrong. It's just the game is evolving, and it is certainly much different than when I was in college. I mean, my freshman year, oh, good God, I averaged 9 minutes, 2 points, and a rebound. That was not very good for a guy who was so highly recruited. But I was thin. I was not ready to play with the physicality of Big Ten basketball. Now, luckily for me, I'll never forget I sat in Bruce Weber's office after my freshman year, and I cried for pretty much an hour straight because I was embarrassed. And, you know, I felt like I let my whole hometown down, let people in the state down, and I've always needed to be built up. You can see that. Or if you know me, you know that I need positive affirmation and coaches who believe in me and this and that. And it's not that Coach Weber didn't, but, you know, Mike Davis and Mike Tisdy were both very good college basketball players. And so, you know, I wasn't going to get many, many minutes anyways, but the point is I went through that whole postseason, I guess, review, if you will. And at the end of it, Coach Weber told me he wanted me to try out for the under 19 team and the USA basketball team, excuse me, under 19. And I basically told him no to his face. And he kind of looked at me and he was like caught off guard. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, Coach, I'm not good enough for that. I'll just stick around campus and, you know, I'll try to get better for next season. And in that moment, as a grown adult and my coach and, you know, as Bruce Weber cared about me also just as a young man, he said, Myers, you're going to be okay. You're going to train as hard as you ever have. And trust me, you're going to make that team and you're going to come back and you're going to kick ass next year. I said, okay, I guess I can do that. Like, all I need is a little bit of reassurance or someone to believe in me. And sure enough, shout out to Chester Frazier, obviously back on staff. Man, we got after it. I mean, we're talking 2 and 3 times a day, really 6-7 days a week. I mean, we'd get up and we'd go run at the park and we'd sprint from a telephone pole to the next one. He'd say, all right, let's get some pushups in, whatever. We'd go run hills and we'd come back and we'd get skill work in. And then he'd be like, all right, go to class. That night I was always shooting. That's for sure. Trying to extend my range, which obviously helped me in my NBA career. Not so much, at Illinois. I mean, I think I shot 2 threes between the 2 years that I played. But anyways, long story short is that I was in unbelievable shape. I ended up making that team. I came in with a lot of confidence, and luckily for me, I was drafted the year after. But the point is the game has really changed. And, you know, it was definitely like a holy smokes moment for me initially when I first got to Illinois. But, you know, that's how it goes. And anyways, let's get back to this team. I don't want to talk about me.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, that's great. I love actually hearing those stories because, you know, of course, I was around then, too. So I get to hear some of those back in the day. But I will tell you, as a guy who covered you when you were like 15 years old, I remember the first time I saw you, I think it was in Las Vegas at a tournament when you were 15 or something like that. And you're like 6'8" then. And so it's really it's great to see where you've got what you've done, what you've been able to accomplish, where you are now. And you know, really happy to see, you know, your family. Liam, obviously great. You got the child, which is, I mean, that's what it's all about. Right. And so really happy for you, man.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'll just, if you don't mind, I'll just quickly say something about that. You know, I have been extremely fortunate. Unfortunately, on the other side of the token, my health's a little beat up, a couple shoulder surgeries, ankle surgery, that didn't exactly go so well. And you know, I'm done playing. I definitely am. And the thing about it is when I tell people that, normally they're like, man, I'm so sorry. And I say this in complete humility. I was able to play 10 years in the NBA. I am an extremely lucky, blessed man. I just truly am. I mean, I come from close to nothing. You know, my father passed when I was 6. My mother was able to scrape by somehow. My brother goes to the Marine Corps. I'm all worried about that. And here I am. You know, I think myself sometimes when I put my head on a pillow, I'm like, how in the world is this my life? Like, it just, and now I will say, I do know that I've always tried to treat everyone with the utmost respect, love on people as hard as I can, because I need that. I know I need that. Like, as a man, I need my family and my friends and anyone, you know, that I feel like I put trust in to believe in me. And so I've just loved on people as hard as I can. I try to take care of everybody. And man, it's just crazy, man. I played 10 years in the NBA, and now all of a sudden I got a baby boy that's 21 months old. And, you know, I met the love of my life at Illinois, Ellie. I just, man, I'm so stinking grateful. And like I said before we hit record, I'm just really in a good phase of life. And, you know, while the NBA was really fun and it was awesome to compete at the highest level, and, you know, I guess at some point I'll miss it. I don't really think about it all that often. I get to wake up and grab my son out of his crib, and he gets almost always, in fact, every morning, he's got a big smile on his face and he says, "Daddy," and everything's fine. You know, I get to go out to, we moved to Ellie's grandparents here. I probably go there 4 or 5 days a week, you know, mow their lawn, pull the weeds, do whatever. It's just, I'm living a normal, simple life, which is something that frankly I craved for a real long time. And I guess I'm just, really grateful and in a good place in my life. So I appreciate you asking and bringing it up, because, you know, we want to talk basketball, but there is more to life than just basketball, and everyone's loving the Illini right now, as they should. And we're feeling good, even all the way down here in Nashville. So anyways, let's jump back into basketball. But thank you for saying something. I do appreciate it. I know that, Brad, you've always cared about me as a human, probably even more than a basketball player. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I that's definitely true. You know, we're out of time. We got to switch gears here, but I want to thank Myers for coming on. Hopefully you'll come back again. Right.
And I will. I didn't even know there was a time limit. Sorry about that.
No, you're perfect. It's all good. We'd love to have you back again. You know, we love having, you know, former Illini on, and it's fantastic. And obviously, you know, I've always, you know, you're kind of one of those guys that's we've had a good personal relationship over the years, and I've enjoyed it. So Myers Leonard, fantastic NBA career, great life going right now. Thanks for being on Sports Spectacular.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow Mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
877-927-3380. 877-927-3380. That's 877-927-3380.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Welcome back here to the show. We're glad to welcome back to our show Tony Garcia, the Detroit Free Press, to talk about all the things Michigan. Tony, good to talk to you again. Let's first talk about, of course, the coaching change. Let's put a bow on Juwan Howard. When we talked several weeks ago, I think we felt the writing here was on the wall if they didn't turn things around. You can't do all the off-court stuff and then not win games in an epic fashion and still hang on to the gig.
Yeah, I think you summarized it. It was just going to be very, very difficult to justify keeping him the way everything was trending. Multiple off-court issues, from Turgeon to then you have the smack in Wisconsin. Then most, I think what really put it over the top was John Sanderson, the incident there, the longtime strength and conditioning coach. Then he goes over to Illinois. And in case that was all not bad enough, 8-24, you lose 18 of your final 20, 9 games in a row to end it. I think 8 of them by double digits. People were transferring out. There was just, it had gotten to you could almost call it a toxic place, and Ward Manuel seemingly had no choice but to move on. But still, some wondered if he would be able to pull that trigger with the Fab Five guy, with someone he had hired. And granted, he did have the health situation, which is not a small thing. A heart surgery at the beginning of the year, that had to be factored in. But I think Ward decided this was beyond that.
Yeah, and I think the disappointing thing, and I'll just go on record right now, I'm a Juwan Howard fan. When this hire was made, I thought it was a great move. Like you said, Fab Five guy, the legacy, he's a Michigan man, NBA pedigree. He was an assistant for years there. It's easy to forget because we have short-term memories, but here's a guy who was the National Coach of the Year just 3 years ago. I mean, you know, in the Elite Eight, that's how fast this thing went off the rails.
Yeah, but then you have people saying that he was doing that with John Beilein's recruits, sure, right? It's not that he can't sure coach. I think, or it wasn't that he couldn't coach. It's that the roster construction, it was everything else about being a head coach, about being a CEO of a program. That's what was not going well. And then when he did not have all the right pieces to teach his players to, then you really saw, right? You have point guards turning over year after year. You have Hunter Dickinson transferring out. You got NBA guys who leave to go in the lottery, and then they're not even hardly playing at all in the NBA. You weren't keeping guys around. You weren't developing. It was everything. Everything was going wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So Juwan Howard, the era is gone in terms of coaching. Now here comes Dusty May. We were talking here in the break. Press conference. He pushed all the right buttons to make you believe, if anyone doubted this wasn't a good hire, I think that those concerns were absolved, at least here at the beginning.
Yeah, it's hard to lose a press conference, really, whenever you are having a press conference, right? It's because things have gone so wrong, and then you have a new fresh voice. It always sounds really, really good a lot of times. That said, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be as good as it sounded, but you just have to, Juwan Howard's press conference sounded great too, right? So just a little trepidation. However, I think Michigan hit a home run. I will go on record that I'm fully on board with this hire. He was the top name for a number of programs. When a big money program like Louisville is also taking their full swing at you and you are able to land them, that's a huge win for Ward Manuel. And for Michigan, you never know how it's going to work out, but right now, on March 27th, as we're talking, in 2024, it seems like the right fit. It seems like a guy, he said all the right things talking about. He understands the limitations of this program and with academics. But he said, and I thought it was a really good point. I heard him talking in another interview earlier this morning, and he said he learned when he was at Indiana under Coach Bobby Knight really quickly that not everybody's going to want to play for Coach Bobby Knight. But that's okay, because there is a select group that does. He kind of views it that same way at Michigan, right? Maybe there is a little smaller pool we're going to be able to pull from. However, if we get the right guys who want to be in this type of program, we're going to be just fine. So he answered that question. I mean, now it's his chance, right? He's a he has some Big Ten roots. It's his chance to put his mark on a Power Five program. And having risen his way through the ranks, the assistant ranks, Eastern Michigan, UAB, Florida, FAU. And I mean, this is a guy who can identify talent. He can recruit. I talked to Mike Davis, who was the recent Detroit Mercy head coach. He was an assistant at Indiana when Dusty May was in his 20s. He brought him on recruiting trips to try and bring Josh Smith to town, the former five-star who just went straight to the NBA. He's like, that's what I thought of this guy 20 years ago. And wow. So that sort of tells you he's been a ball knower for some time.
Yeah. And like you said, he's got the pedigree there, having come through the Indiana program. He knows Michigan, having been over in Eastern Michigan, as you mentioned. And I think, too, that he backed up the Final Four run last year with another trip to the NCAA, right? I mean, FAU was an at-large bit. They weren't an automatic qualifier in winning their conference tournament. So went out, played a national schedule, you know, took their lumps. But I think they showed that they're, you know, I mean, when you think of FAU, you're going to think of Dusty May the way we think of George Mason and Jim Larrañaga and VCU and Shaka Smart, et cetera, et cetera. He's the one that put them on the map. And like you said, now he comes in to the Big Ten. You mentioned in terms of, again, obviously we know the Michigan's a very unique situation. Explain to our listeners why that is so. Why is Michigan such a different job than maybe Ohio State or Purdue or Illinois?
Yeah, it's because the transfer admissions, there is a limit in Michigan admissions. They don't want more than 60 credits transferring from other institutions. And really, none of us actually know the exact reasons why in the inner workings, but I mean, it's academic prestige and to make sure, right, that you're not transferring some. Well, I mean, it's to hold the standard of the university, which makes sense. But then what that means is you are limited to people who are freshmen, who have not completed 2 years of credits, sophomores, juniors, who are then trying to move on, or grad students, maybe someone who has finished their degree but got injured and had a medical redshirt of some sort. And so they'll have another reason. It's been a little actually easier recently, believe it or not, because of the COVID year. Guys have been graduating earlier. They've been having more. They've been having more years of eligibility or extensions. And so Michigan has had more people to pull from recently, believe it or not, than they really will in the future. Like starting next year, once that COVID year of eligibility expires, it's going to be even more difficult. And so that's really what it is. Now, why that is, I actually don't understand. I don't know why, because yeah. Duke is a wonderful university. North Carolina Chapel Hill is a wonderful university. Yet they got no problem when getting someone in the door. So
yeah,
I guess that's not a question for me. That's a question.
Yeah,
for Michigan.
Yeah. I know that Illinois had that same issue with Terrence Shannon when he was trying to get into Michigan as well. And as I understand it, our sources said
Terrence Shannon. I'm sorry to cut you off. Terrence Shannon had committed to Michigan.
Right.
Terrence Shannon wanted to go. He had told Juwan he was coming, and then he did not get in. I'm sorry. I'm sure that's the point you were making, Larry.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He couldn't get in there. And then Illinois has a similar policy of the 60 hours, and Brad Underwood was able to twist some arms to get them to waive it just this one time. So maybe
Dustin. All-American.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and then, question, I mean, right? it makes you wonder if Juwan Howard would still have a job, because it's not just Terrence Shannon. Caleb Love committed this last season. He's an All-American at Arizona. It's there were reasons, there were limitations for Juwan, but he didn't do enough.
Right. Now, also with the Hunter Dickinson thing, the NIL situation at Michigan came up. Did Dusty May get any kind of, you know, assurances that you know of that maybe there'll be some more NIL dollars available to hit that transfer portal a little harder with those players that are going to fit the Michigan system?
No assurances, no guarantees. He said that 25 to 30% of his time is focused on NIL. He says it's not why he got into coaching, but he has embraced it now. And the way he sees it's only going to help him, right? It helps him. It helps his program. It helps his university. It is now part of his job. And if he can sort of be a boon for the boosters, right, and for all the people who are doing really the boot groundwork, NIL work, he wants to supplement that. He wants to be another person who can be a part of that. I mean, he's not going to not be drawing up plays and not out recruiting and this and that, but he knows that it is a major part of his role. And he said that it's funny how differently it's perceived, right? In Ann Arbor, where I am, a lot of people see Michigan as sort of a hindrance or NIL as a hindrance, right? Sort of limiting Michigan. He just came from FAU. He thinks he's got all the money and all the resources to work with. Right. So,
right. It's all about perspective, right? So it's exactly. I want to get you before we let you go. Obviously, Sweet 16 is here. We're talking before the games are played on Thursday and Friday. Two Big Ten teams are left. Purdue, obviously, many think could win it all. We mentioned Illinois in terms of playing their best basketball at the right time right now, and certainly an offensive juggernaut. Do they have what it takes, in your opinion, to get past Iowa State and even perhaps UConn? And on the other side, is what you've seen is Purdue improved enough to get past, you know, the ghost of NCAA's past and finally reach the Final Four and maybe cut down the nets?
Oh, boy, if you saw my bracket, you would know not to ask me either of these questions. I mean, I think so. The question with Illinois has been not having a true point guard, right? It's guard play. But with Terrence Shannon, with Damask, with Coleman Hawkins, I mean, just the I was a Coleman Hawkins detractor for some time. He's blossomed. He's really come into his own. And I think, and then you got Luke Goody, these other pieces. They look like a great team. Brad Underwood, who another person who I've detracted from as well. He's having a great season. I think it feels ridiculous. This could be the year for Illinois or Purdue. I don't know about a national championship for Illinois. I just don't know if they're that level talented, but Purdue, I mean, you saw what they did this weekend. Like, did they even play this weekend?
Right.
they just walked through it. And that's where I'll be at LCA this weekend. It would be pretty amazing if the next time a 16 seed beat a one seed, if Purdue sort of followed in that Virginia footsteps and followed with a national championship to rectify that. I think I will pick Purdue to get out of that region. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I think to your point, if Purdue can win it all, it may be one of those things that the stigma of a one losing to a 16 kind of goes away. You say, listen, no problem. We're going to come back next year and win it all. It's happened. It's all, we're, you know, the teams are two for two doing that. So, Tony, we know that you are super busy. Lots going on. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the games in Detroit this weekend. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
You got it. Appreciate it. Tony Garcia, Detroit Free Press. Be sure to give him a follow and always appreciate his insights on Michigan basketball as well as the Big Ten as well. Stay with us. We've got more to come coming up after this.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Back on Big Sports Radio. I tell you what, there's always new sports that come out. And although this is an old sport that's now a new sport, I don't know, but 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics. We got 35-year-old Jimmer Fredette. You know, I'll tell you what, Jimmer Fredette, when he was at BYU, was fun to watch. I mean, he was like, I guess he was like Steph Curry or Trace Young or somebody like that before Steph Curry or Trace Young. I mean, this dude had no conscience. When he walked in the gym, he was open. Well, now he's on the 3-on-3 Olympic team. So this should be entertaining with some of this stuff.
Yeah. I found out two things today, I think, that are really interesting. First off, I found out that there's 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics. So that was the first thing I found out. And then as I read about Jimmer Fredette, his brother is 7 years older than him, and his sister is 9 years older than him. So he might have been an oops. So that beyond that, I'm really looking at this going, I'm interested in watching it because I will pretty much watch any basketball. And I'm trying to figure out like how you put this team together because there's a lot of players and it's 3-on-3, so it shouldn't be too taxing. So wouldn't there be some like current NBA players who might have the time to do this? I don't know.
Yeah, you would think you could. You know, 3-on-3 would be like you could get some guys from the current NBA, but evidently they're not as much fun as Jimmer Fredette. And we're still, you know, it's exciting. So I don't know. 3-on-3 is such a cool game, though. If you ever play a lot of 3-on-3, it is fun because the game is different. There's so much more space when you're playing. So it's a lot of fun, I guess. So that's good. You know, one guy who doesn't need to be any more space and he doesn't need to be 3-on-3 is our high school national high school player of the year, Cooper Flagg. Mike, you've got a chance to watch him. I've watched him playing. He's really good. I mean, this dude he's reclassed. He's going early and he's going to be a stud.
Yeah. You know, he is. Oh, man. You know, I think probably the last player there's two players that I was this excited about when they were in high school. One was Kevin Durant was just unbelievable with his height and his shooting ability. And then Michael Porter Jr. was incredible until he had the back injury. I thought he might even be better than Durant. And now Flag, I saw him play, and it was amazing because he could play power forward or center. He could play point guard. He was threading the needle on passes. He was shooting from outside. He was getting steals on the press. I have to tell you, he's about as well-rounded a basketball player as I can remember. Now, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. How do you rank him in terms of prospects over the last 20 years?
Well, I mean, honestly, he's in that rarefied air with LeBron. I mean, he's there with LeBron and those guys as one of the top players I've seen in high school. I mean, because he has the blend of athleticism, skill, and basketball IQ. He gets it all, and he's got it all together. And what we have to understand, like, he's also younger than everybody he's playing against by a full year. I mean, it's really, when you think about that, he's going to go to college, and he's going to be younger than everyone. And I still think he's going to be great. But I don't know if we won't get to see him at his best in college, because he will be. I mean, they're going to be 23-year-olds. I'm not saying he's not great, but there's a difference between 18 and 23. And there really is. And then he's going to go to the NBA. And I think it'll, in a couple of years, though, I think in 5 years from now, we're talking about him and probably Victor Wembanyama as being like the, you know, some of the staples as these, you know, as guys like Tatum and Jokic and these guys get older. And LeBron, of course, LeBron might still be playing. Who knows? He'll only be 43 then. So, but yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a great player in the NBA. Now, speaking of guys going pro, how about Deion? Deion Prime, Colorado, saying, well, his kids aren't going to go to certain teams because when they get drafted. What?
Yeah, if I'm one of his players, I'm going to be like, hey, coach, well, hey, let's calm down here now, because I don't know that there's a lot of guys with the talent to pull an Eli Manning and maybe one of.
Those guys are different, right?
Yes. Yes. And I just don't know. I don't know that is something that is the best idea to do. And it reminds me a little bit of Mr. Ball when he was talking. And I don't know that that's a good thing.
No, I would agree with you, Mike. I really think that he needs to let his players, because legitimately you say, I don't want to go to this team. Well, you could drop 3 or 4 spots. It costs them like $1 million.
Yeah.
Costs his players $1 million, and that's not good.
Yeah, totally agree, and I wonder if the players knew that.
Yep, it's hard to say. We'll be back right after this on Big Sports Radio.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. That's 800-456-5371.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
All right, coming down now to the final few minutes here of the show. Gentlemen, when we get through the weekend here, we will be down to 4 teams headed to Phoenix. Let's just put it on the table. Who you got heading west?
Man, I'm gonna go with UNC. I don't have enough confidence in Arizona, their consistency. I just think UNC is playing well in the tournament, and they have the guard and You know, I love RJ Davis, and I think Armando Bacot's really good. I'm going to go with UConn over Illinois. I think that might be the best regional matchup of teams. I just think those two teams are fun. Two best offensive teams in the country. I'm going to pick Purdue because, well, Zach Edey's a, he's a freak of nature. One of his dominant players. Now, the other region, this is the region where I really struggle to come with. NC State, Marquette, Duke, and Houston. And although I don't know, I'm going with Duke. I like the Dukies here. I thought they looked really good against James Madison. I've changed my pick, and I'm going with the Dukies to make it to the Final Four.
I think Houston has had their opportunity to lose, and I think it's going to make it much tougher. I see them going. I agree with you on Purdue. I think Zach Edey is a nightmare for teams to cover, especially when the guards are shooting well, which they are right now. I do actually think Arizona is going to slip past North Carolina. And unfortunately, as much of an Illini fan as I am, I cannot see, you know, UConn being beaten without a historic game by the Illini or Iowa State. I think Illinois would have to have like three players, you know, close to 30 points to beat this UConn team. So again, I think UConn will be the fourth team into the Final Four.
I think UConn is unbelievable. They're so good, and there's a reason that they're going to the weekend 33-3 before they play San Diego State Thursday night. However, it's so hard for a team to repeat. It's happened only twice in the past 50 years now. It's just, it's almost impossible. And one thing about UConn, nobody has more luck than UConn. Last year, they became the first national champion ever to win a title without ever having playing a number one or two seed. And if Illinois wins Thursday night and they beat Illinois, they'll be 10-0, 10 straight wins in the NCAA tournament without ever facing a one or a two seed. I think Illinois is unbelievable right now, and I think that UConn's due for an off game. So I'm pulling for the upset, Illinois out of the East. I'm taking Arizona. This is the four teams I had, by the way, in my bracket. So for once, I'm actually chalk right now somehow. Illinois, Arizona, Purdue, and Houston are the four that I've got in the Final Four. I think Purdue breaks through. Zach Edey is tough, but as I said earlier, I really want to see Purdue Creighton just because I want to see Edey and Kalkbrenner, and I think that would be back-to-back trips to the Elite Eight for Creighton for the first time in school history as well. That could be a matchup, and Creighton could surprise everybody. You know, we really haven't had that major upset yet outside of, you know, a couple of, you know, 5-12 games, 6-11, obviously Kentucky, the big one going down, but that could be the first real consequential upset that we've seen in the tournament.
Yeah, I think those are intriguing matchups. I think it's going to be interesting to see. I want to see, you know, I would love to see Edey and Klingon going head-to-head, too, in the national championship game. Big guys, I think that could be a lot of fun. And, you know, there's some great matchups. You know, the one thing I would say about, you know, Illinois-UConn, I really love that game. If Terrence Shannon has one of his games, remember last year was against UCLA, went 8 of 9 from three. If he has one of those type of games, I mean, that's where UConn, I don't care how good you are. Everybody else is good enough to beat you but they have to have like a Herculean effort or kind of an otherworldly thing to beat UConn, or they have to have an off night. And so it can happen. It's just when you're looking at odds would favor the Huskies in most of the matchups, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I think that you're exactly right, Larry. It can, they're due to kind of have a stinker. They haven't really had one. And you know, so it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and I do think that is key is the Herculean effort from somebody, and that's what it will take. Otherwise, I do see a matchup of the two big guys. And so here we are in the modern three-point era, and it's going to come down to the 2 7-foot centers. Oh, well.
Yep.
Yeah, 40th anniversary of the Kingdom in Seattle, Olajuwon versus Ewing, right? I mean, it'd be pretty cool.
Let's hope fouls will not keep the best players on the bench during that,
exactly. And by the way, let's you know, also remind everybody the white jersey theory. Be wary of the white jersey and the propensity to somehow get advantage of free throw shooting when it comes down to this time of year. We're out of time. We'll maybe go a little deeper into that next week, but just watch the fouls
early second half, ticky-tack fouls away from the basket, they can be telling, history tells us. All right. Hey, we're out of time. We have covered a lot of ground, a lot of hoops that have been played and more to be played. Enjoy all the games and all the weekend, and we'll talk with you as we talk Final Four next week for Brad and for Mike and for our producer, Tony, and our editors. We want to say thanks so much, and I'm Larry. We will see you next time here on the show.
ILL.
I-N-I.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports, LLC, and JM Talent Productions. We'll be back next week on the Illini Guys Radio Network on these same stations across Illinois.